Ezekiel 14 tonight. Last week we began chapter 14, and I think it's chapters 12 on. Just their individual prophecies, if you will. They're separate in a way, and yet they're all together. And it begins the prophecies usually like, and the word of the Lord came. That with that consecutive idea. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. Then the word of the Lord, the word or the expression of the Lord came. And in chapter 13, it was a focus on the prophets, a prophecy against the prophets, how they were just speaking right out of their own heart. They were not directed by the Spirit of God, but by their own spirit. We looked at also the daughters of thy people, talking to Ezekiel, how they did the similar thing. In chapter 14, he began by saying, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. The elders or the older ones of Israel. And they came and they sat before him. Obviously, they came for a reason. They wanted to hear the word of the Lord. And we looked at that. The Lord addressed not what they came to ask a question about. That's not what he addressed first. What he addressed was what they really needed to deal with, and that was the idols in their hearts. So there were idols in their hearts, and he says in verse 3, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put a stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of all by them? And so he told Ezekiel to speak unto them. And he did. And we read all the way to chapter 11, or verse 11. And in chapter 12, verse 12 is where we'll pick up now. All right. Did we get it? This is separate. It's not a continuation necessarily, it's not part like it was in chapter 13. All of that was sort of all put together. This is separate, but in a way it's still yet connected, of course. But he says right in verse 12, the word of the Lord came again to me saying. So just like he begins in chapter 13, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, chapter 12, the word of the Lord also came unto me saying. So even though it's not the beginning of a chapter, there's a break here similarly. And the word of the Lord came again unto me saying. The chapter divisions are not inspired. They were added later. It's good to remember that because you might read your chapter and then you come back and read another chapter and you don't connect the two when they're supposed to all be, it's all together. It's all together. You can't just take one and leave the rest. But also, in this section here, there are different prophecies. And so he says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. And this word is expression, the expression of the Lord. That's all caps. We looked at that just Sunday. Yihya, the one who exists, the existing one. Literally, he is existing. The word of the Lord came, the expression of the Lord existed unto me, saying. And what did he say? Verse 2, or verse 13. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon the land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah and Daniel and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. And he summarizes in verse 21, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. He says, yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. So, there are four different things that the Lord is going to bring upon the land, four different sections that he gives here. And as he summarized in verse 21, these four things. And so he begins with the famine in verse 13. He addresses Ezekiel, calls him son of man. When the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, when the land is sinning, it's sinning. And then it says in Hebrew, a lot of times that when they want to emphasize something, they'll take a word and they'll make it an infinitive, and then they'll put the verb with it. So to transgressing, they transgress. To anger, he is angry. And what that means is very angry, or in this case, transgressing very much, greatly, great degree. It's a way of emphasizing it. And that's why they translate transgression, transgress grievously. So the land, and he says the land, he's addressing the land in this. A lot of feminine verbs. They go back to the land. The land is sinning. It's transgressing grievously. And it uses that word when, which is a key clause. It gives the basis here. And he says that he's going to bring the famine. He says, then, these are all consecutive. Then I will stretch my hand upon her, talking about the land. Then I will break to her a staff of bread. Then I will cause to send in her famine. Then I will cause to cut off from her man and beast. Man and beast, or man and animal. And you can see a progression here of action. He's going to stretch out his hand. Then he'll break the staff of bread. Then the famine. And then I'll cause to cut off from her man and beast. And those are all logical things. You see how that could happen. The Lord is going to stretch out his hand and break the staff of bread. There won't be any bread. And once you don't have any bread, after a while, what happens? You have a famine. And what happens after a famine? People are cut off from the land, right? You're going to die. And so that's what the Lord's going to do. And he uses all these things. It's in this progression here. But he gives a principle of the righteous here in verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel and Job were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. So, though these three men, talking about Noah, and why don't we look at Genesis chapter 6 really quick, just to be reminded of Noah. If you look at verse 5 of chapter 6 of Genesis, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And sometime we'll look at the word repent here and other places, not tonight. Verse 7, it says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. Sounds familiar. and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But it says this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And verse 9 says that Noah walked with God. And what happened? It was very similar situation, although this is over the whole world. But who was delivered? Noah. Noah was delivered. And his children. And his children as well. But Noah walked with God. He was a righteous man when no one else was. So that tells you something about the character of Noah. How about Job? Go over to Job chapter 1. Job 1. The character of these men. There's something striking about these men that even the Lord himself would use them as examples. Isn't that amazing? Wow, what is that? What does that tell you about Noah, Job, and Daniel? In verse 1 of chapter 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He eschewed evil, and it talks about how there was no one greater in the east. I don't see that verse. Verse 3, there it says, of all the things that he had, he was very great, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. He had a lot of things. The Lord had blessed him because he was faithful. And as you read the whole book of Job, you kind of get a sense, you can sense the character of Job. And at the end as well, Job. So though Noah, Job, and Daniel, Daniel's interesting as well. That's kind of the most interesting to me. The Lord's talking about Daniel. Daniel's still alive right now as he's writing this. Daniel's still in Babylon. By the way, where's Ezekiel? In Babylon. Now, they're probably, you know, Daniel's probably in the palace, and they're not in the palace. They're over by the river Kivar, where the exiles go. But Daniel, he's in the palace. He's already been before the king. He's already been promoted. How do we know this? Because the book of Daniel tells us, you know, the second year he came before the king in his dream. And it's way past the second year. In fact, we're in the 15th year of Nebuchadnezzar, the 15th year. So he's been there for a while now. And, you know, depending on how old Daniel was, he's probably, don't know for sure, but maybe 30, not very old at all. At this time, you know, because he was young when he was taken captive in the first year. And so now it's the 15th year. So if he was a teenager, 15 or 16 years old, 15 years later, you know, he's probably in his 30s. And the Lord, even at this young age, the Lord uses this man as an example. And he says, if these men were in the land, and it's not just these men, but anyone with these with this character, they, in their righteousness, literally will cause to deliver their soul. They will deliver their soul. Their righteousness would deliver their soul. And that's a principle. God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Chapter 18 was very clear. Well, we haven't got there yet, but it will be very clear about that. And we looked a little bit at that Sunday. And we've also already seen some of that in chapter 9, verse 4. Why don't you go back to chapter 9, just a few pages back. You remember in the Jerusalem vision. Because again, he's repeating things that the Lord has already said. The Lord has already said that he would bring these things upon the land. And he already said that the righteous would be delivered. Chapter 9, in the Jerusalem vision, look at verse 4. He's talking to, remember, the man in the linen clothes with the ink cord by his side. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. So that's what he was supposed to do. And then there were the other four, I think it was. And to the others, he said in mine hearing, go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and man upon whom is the mark, and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. So that principle has already been established. The Lord has already said this many times. It's amazing. As you look in Scripture, the principles of God's Word, you find them all over the place. Of course you do. The ones in the New Testament are in the Old, and likewise. It goes back and forth. But he says here, he's not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. They will cause to deliver themselves. He gives the second thing. Oh, before we move on, he says in verse, I think it's verse 13. You see that? Saith the Lord God. That's throughout Ezekiel. Literally, an utterance of the Lord Yahweh. This is what he said. And he's going to be very emphatic with that, even in these few verses here. It's already emphatic. It's already true because the Lord said it, but he's adding emphasis. And he's actually going to give an oath a few times. The Lord will, himself. And because he can swear by nothing greater, he swears by himself that this is what I've said and this is what's going to happen. But in the second section here, the first one was about the famine. The second one is about, here it says, a noisome beasts. Noisome beasts. If you see that in verse 15, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land. This word, noisome beasts, is literally living, a living thing. It's the same word used for the living creatures that we saw in chapter 1 and chapter 10 and other places, chapter 3. Living thing, but it can refer to animals. There's also another word for animals that will be used as well. And then the noisome, there's the word adjective evil. These evil beasts, these evil living things. Probably not evil in the way we think of, not like demonic evil, but evil like a ferocious lion, you know, in the city would be not good. It would be evil in a sense. That in that way, something that's bad. Not good, these evil beasts, noisome beasts, it says. And he says that he would cause that these beasts to pass over the land. And then it will cause, the beast will cause to bereave her. Who's the her? Her is the land. Then she will exist a waste from want of passing over from the faces of the living thing. That's literal. She's going to be wasted. And verse 16, or end of verse 15 says, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts. And then, see, each of these four sections, they have a similar structure to them. They come away with the judgment first, and then they have this principle of the righteous. And here's the principle of the righteous one in the second one. He says, verse 16, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. So these three men in the midst of her, they will exist. Who? Noah, Daniel, Job. If that were the case, if they were in that land, then, and by the way, right in the middle of that, the Lord gives an oath. He says, as I live, saith the Lord God, as I live, saith the Lord Yahweh, an utterance of the Lord Yahweh. So he does two things here. He says, as I live. You see that throughout Scripture as well, how people, when they make an oath, as the Lord liveth, if you're still alive by tomorrow, you know, then may I die. There's things like that that's said by righteous people and wicked people. But the Lord said it first, I think, in Numbers. But what it is he's saying, as surely as he lives, is as sure as these statements here that he's saying. And he says, an utterance of the Lord, Yichya. He's really being emphatic with this statement that though these three men were in her, as I exist, as I live, an utterance of the Lord, Yichya. And then he talks about this condition, if the sons or if daughters, he says they will cause to deliver them themselves, literally to the separation of them, themselves only. They wouldn't deliver anyone else. So now the first section kind of emphasized that the righteous will be delivered and the wicked will not. The second one emphasizes that the righteous will only deliver themselves. They won't deliver anyone else. They won't deliver even sons or daughters. The third section begins talking about the sword. He says in verse 17, or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. So, he's going to bring the sword. It will cause to cut off from the land, from her, both man and beast, man and animal. And the principle of the righteous in the third section, it's understood, then will exist the three of these men in the midst of her. Talking about Job, talking about Daniel, talking about Noah. And the oath of the Lord, he says, as I live, an utterance of the Lord, Yichya, they will not cause to deliver sons and daughters, because these, to the separation of them, they will be delivered. These will be delivered, but not the sons and daughters. In the fourth section, he says, verse 19, or if I send a pestilence into that land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast. Though Noah and Daniel and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. So the third thing, or the fourth thing that he would bring upon the land, the pestilence. Again, he's mentioned these things, and he'll mention them again in future chapters. But he says he's going to pour out his wrath upon her in blood. And the purpose is to cause cutting off from her man and beast. You know, we've seen a lot of that. A lot of this kind of talk of just judgment, judgment, judgment. It can kind of get old. You think, this is just, it's not encouraging, you know. And if you're just reading through it, you kind of think, oh, Lord's harsh. And we're going to look at the conclusion here. He's going to kind of address that idea. The Lord is harsh. He's just mean. You know, why can't we, let's just think about something that's more nice to think about. Why do we have to think about judgment all the time? Well, he's going to address that in the end here. But this is significant. He gives that principle of the righteous here. He says in verse 20, though Noah, Daniel, and Job are in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Each time he says that, it's just a little different each time. Before it was plural, sons and daughters. This time it's son, singular, and daughter, singular. He uses some different words. But he says here that though these three men, these righteous men who followed the Lord, who believed the Lord, though they were in the land, the son, the daughter, they would only cause to deliver themselves. They would not deliver anyone else in their righteousness. They will cause to deliver their soul, it says. And in verse 21, he gives kind of an evaluation of these things. He says, for thus saith the Lord God, because thus saith the Lord God, in this manner, the Lord Yichya said. And he says, how much more when I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, and the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. How much more will these three only deliver themselves because of the four evil judgments? That's the understanding. How much more, when these judgments come upon the land, will these righteous ones only deliver themselves? Just adding emphasis to what he's saying. And the purpose for him, what's the purpose of him bringing these things upon the land? He says it a few times. He says, to cause cutting off from her man and beast. That's the Lord's purpose. To cut off from the land man and beast. And the Lord will bring upon the land these things. They will be cut off, and the righteous will only deliver themselves. In the last few verses here, look at verse 22. He says, yet behold. He has two behold statements here. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. So, there'll be left a remnant, and you see that many times in Scripture. This remnant being caused to be brought out. And who is it? Sons and daughters, he says. And then he says, behold them, these ones being delivered unto you. He says, then you will see. You're going to see two things. You will see the way of them, and you will see the deeds of them. But really, those are in parallel. He's talking about one thing. It's just parallelism. Two things, their way and their deeds. It's the same thing for everybody. Their way is according to their deeds. Their deeds is according to their way. What you do is your way. And he says, you will see that. And when you see that, he says, then you will be comforted. Literally, comforted upon the evil which I cause to go upon Jerusalem. With the entirety of which I cause to go upon her. So, all of that meaning, they're going to see these people that come, because there will be some after that Jerusalem is taken. There will be a remnant that will come. And when they see them, they see their ways and their doings. It says they'll be comforted. What is that? What do you mean? Comforted upon the evil. And I believe what he's saying is, they will say, the Lord was just. They see what these people are doing, and they say, the Lord was just. He did what was right. They're going to see the wickedness. They will see the evil from these people that were left, this remnant. And they will be comforted. They'll say, the Lord was just in what he did. He should have done that. And this is kind of the climax here. When we see the Lord's decisions, see what the Lord does, humanism says, I'm going to decide if this is good or bad. Sometimes you say, Lord, why'd you do that? I don't think you should have done it. You ever watch a sports game and you always, you know, I don't think that was a ball, or I don't think that was a strike, or I don't think that was a touchdown, whatever game you're watching. We all like to say, be the judge. I think you made a bad call. But we do the same thing with the Lord. We judge what he does. But see, we don't see like he sees. We don't think like he thinks in Isaiah 55. But he says these people are going to see, at least in part, what the Lord sees. They're going to see their ways. They're going to see their doings. And when they see that, they'll understand. They'll say, wow, yeah, the Lord should have done that. Sometimes we think, well, you know, the Lord judges people. And then you think about, well, don't you want somebody who does this evil act to be punished? The Lord always does what's right. When we see the Lord's decisions, we should say, amen, so be it. The Lord did it. It was righteous. It was just. It's not that we desire that people would fall and be destroyed, but when the Lord executes judgment, he does righteously, and it is something to say, amen. Even if it's against you. In fact, people will say that. The Lord, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue will confess. And even if the Lord casts judgment upon you, you have to say, Amen. I deserved it. It was right. It was righteous. The Lord always does what's righteous and true and just. And he says in verse 22, he says, "And ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it." So then they will cause to comfort you. Verse 23, they shall comfort you. That's causative action. "When ye see their ways and their doings, ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God." So they will cause to comfort you. It's not like they're coming over and consoling you, but they're seeing their ways. That's what he says, because you will see the way of them. Understood, because you will see the deeds of them. You're going to see it, and because you see their way, their deeds, you're going to be comforted, consoled. And I think about, you know, man likes to always put his best foot forward, right? You look at out in the world, people don't want to be embarrassed. That's why people sometimes don't try new things, right? Because if you do something that you're not good at and everybody sees you, it puts you in a bad light. And so people like to do what they do best, and it's their glory in a sense. But, you know, and sometimes we struggle with, oh, some people, wow, they're just so much better than me. And when you hear that, I remember Pastor Limbaugh, I've heard it from other people say, you know, everybody puts their pants on the same way, right? Everybody, before the Lord, they're not special. They're not special. They're not some great people. We're all sinful people by nature. And though man likes to look like they're glorious, even wicked people, you know, they have their prestige. As he says in Psalm 73, boy, he was envious at the wicked. They have everything that heart could wish. And we're not looking at necessarily what God's seeing. Because when God judges, he always does it righteously. We might say, well, this was such a good man. Why did all this stuff happen to him? But what the Lord does, he always does righteously. We almost always put our best foot forward, but if the Lord were to reveal their wicked deeds, and if we were to view them as he does, we would be comforted, consoled by his judgment. Because sometimes you feel like, yeah, whoa, God judged this nation on this island? No, that seems a little harsh. But when you see their deeds, it will console us, as it did here. And he ends with that phrase, "And ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. You will know, because not in vain I did the entirety which I did in her." The Lord never does anything in vain for no reason. I don't know about you. I can guess. Probably you think the same way as I do often. Sometimes we think, yeah, this is just a redundancy in Scripture. Or we just think, well, yeah, this isn't significant. The Lord did this thing, but that's not that important. But whatever the Lord does is not in vain. Everything is significant. And the Lord's judgment, it wasn't just in vain. It wasn't for no reason. He wasn't just angry. But he did it for a reason, for a purpose. And he said, when you see their ways and their deeds, you'll know why I did it. You'll know. You'll understand. And those who understand these things, they'll bow and worship the Lord who only does righteously. I kind of think about Job. Job understood some of these things, I think. All the evils that happened upon him, what did he do? He praised the Lord. Because he knew the Lord always does righteously. He didn't understand it. And in fact, he kind of wondered, you know, well, I wish I could just talk to the Lord about this. You know, what have I done? What's the case? Why is this happening? He wanted to know the answer, but he never cursed God foolishly. He never charged him with anything. In fact, he gave glory to the Lord. And so that's what we have to do as well. And these elders, I believe this is probably still within that context. Perhaps these elders came, they wanted to intercede in behalf. Maybe they thought, well, you know, what's the word of the Lord concerning Jerusalem? Are they going to be spared? Can we go back? That's probably all in their minds. They haven't been there that long, maybe about 6 years or so. And they're thinking they want to go back. And maybe they're thinking about the account. You remember in Genesis where Abraham's talking with the Lord. Lord, if there's 40 righteous, will you spare the city? It gets down to what? 10, I think. I think it's 10 righteous. Will you spare the city? And the Lord says, I'll spare it for 10. But the Lord says something different here. He says, if these three men were in there, I would not spare the city. I'm not going to spare Jerusalem. His judgment was already pronounced against Jerusalem. It would already happen. And he would not spare it for the few righteous that were in it. And then he ends it all with, saith the Lord God. Literally, an utterance of Lord Yahweh. So all of this is really emphatic. The Lord is saying, these are my very words. This is what I'm telling you. Very emphatic. You know, we kind of just skip. I skip over this. I read through the whole Bible. Great. But that doesn't really help you if you don't know what it says and if you don't know the Lord more deeply. So we need to slow way down and look at these things. The Lord has so much, even in Ezekiel, Isaiah, you go through the Pentateuch, you go anywhere in the scriptures, it's full. There's no place that it's just got some empty words. Well, we don't need the genealogies. There are endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying. That's not what that verse is saying. All scripture is important and emphasized here by saying an utterance of the Lord. So I hope you'll think about these things. I know we kind of went quickly and generalized some things. The Lord is going to send upon the land these four things, and the righteous would only deliver themselves. They won't deliver anyone else. By the way, that's true here. It's true for now. The world's going to be destroyed. Nations will be taken because of their wickedness. And they're not going to be delivered by anyone else's righteousness. It has to be by each person, their righteousness. And where do we get our righteousness? Well, in the Old Testament, you had your own righteousness, right? No. It's the same. It's from the Lord. It's the Lord's righteousness that we get from Him. Lord, thank you so much for your word and the opportunity to study it. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.